Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. This is Monday, May 6th, Major League Baseball. Looking out for you, you want to make sure it's professional. But explain this to people in the book, and we learned some thinking and some trying to figure out what makes just the most sense here. And it's been a process, and you want to for a while trying to figure out exactly how to label these. You know, the grades, and make sure that the connotation comes across clearly. We talk about that a lot in statistics, clear. And so, what I think makes a lot of sense is rather than having a this pick that I like or a this pick that I like, that's a certain grade, and some of those are kind of official picks. And it can be a little bit confusing there. The side I think what makes the motion is what we're going to call a grade is the intersection. Both the best picks and the picks are like kind of what we would have called the plays the day before. And that isn't assuming we just have to have one of those, but something like the extra credit pick on Twitter that's done really well. The play of the day historically, which has done well so far, just kind of, fluttering around 50-50 here so far this baseball season. Unfortunately, it'll turn around. I'm not really worried about it in the long run. But those plays that I like the most will be the A grades. And so I'm going to start kind of recapping, talking about A grade to B grades. B grades will be kind of that threshold where we should start considering a pick. And so that's what we'll provide on the screen is the threshold for the B grade pick. That's where we kind of start liking that, start to think about it a little bit more. But the A grade will be, yeah, the model likes it and I like it because I know how the model forming, how the model views these teams, or I know extra information or just what I've observed, because I do spend a lot of time doing this. And so, kind of formulated that in recaps. It's 1 a.m. right now, so hopefully I didn't make an error or anything. We'll double check in the morning. But, thankfully we got a win for the Stars here in Game 7. That was a lot of fun. And then started working on this. And it's super late right now. If you watch the show usually at night, I usually try to get up about 11 p.m. Eastern. It won't be up by then now because that was 2 hours ago. So hopefully if you're a night owl person, you can catch it here on the show on Monday. But we've got what we're calling A grade here is what I would have previously just called recommended bets or best bets or whatever. And I'm rolling all that into the A grade. And everything that would have been, it's now kind of what we would have called the B grade, kind of rolling into that. So what will be happening going forward is that the A grades will be a complete subset of the B grades, which is the best of the B grades. But I'm going to have all the B grades there just so we can kind of see how the model's performing. And so we're checking out the metrics that track all this on full transparency. You'll see the total, every game will be fall into a B, C, or D grade category. If it's an A grade, it'll fall into the A and the B because it's a B grade by the model, but then it's an A grade by the upgraded it. So you'll kind of see the A grades, those best ones are kind of their own kind of column of B, C, and D. So anyway, we'll kind of keep talking about this, but the key is just a little bit different terminology as we get through to it. We're still fucking used to it. I think it'll make a lot more sense. But what we're going to do is I'm going to go through the show. We're going to give one A grade pick this show. Every time we're going to try to give one A grade pick, we'll still have our A grade play of the day for everybody who's on Bud Club. We'll try to give out a pick on Twitter, and then some of you might have more than that. And so we'll kind of be best of the best. Plays, the ones I like the most. Those are historically have done really well across all sports. And so again, as always, you're throwing up well, continue to highlight what's working well and figure out what's not working well and stop doing that, right? So it's always a learning process and grow. So you'll get one A grade play throughout this show here. So stay tuned and listen up for what it is. And we'll talk about the other picks and why I like them a little bit or a lot or a little bit less or whatever. Get all that good information, weather information, stuff. If you're not with them on Bud Club yet, you'll get so much more. Written summaries, information, all the things I can't say on the show, extra information that I have talked about that I type up and send out notes to people on the club. Information you can't watch the show, we don't have a full hour necessarily to use this. Even more picks, the Discord chat group, all sorts of benefits that we're going to have a 10-day free trial. So, all that QR code, link in the show description, we'll get you started. Welcome, manager, here before we get started. PicksWithTheProfessor.com/new will get you some information about the model and then the community rules. Weather is subject to change, updates on that and updates on everything, including if there's a starting pitcher change. There are two games right now that don't have confirmed starting pitchers. And so if there's any changes there, that's a place to be for all of that. But as always, we are projecting an average game, one game, who knows what will happen. And when we talk about percents, the books view this as percent, and so we should too. And so we know that sometimes weird things are going to happen, and if a team is 55% to win, we know there's a real chance they might lose. We don't really know. So the way that we profit is by having a different probability in the books and exploiting where their probabilities are a little bit off. As a PhD statistician, I built a pretty decent little model that helps us do that in the long run. Unfortunately, I can't guarantee that every single day, every single week, but overall, we do pretty well. But as always, take what you like and leave the rest. Last but not least, if you didn't like the show, we would like that. We're starting off with the Giants. We do have an afternoon game here, a little getaway day action for our Monday afternoon and night today. And really, low 70s is what we're eyeing right now. Slight breeze in. Parks should play pretty normal. Looking like a major debut for Mason Black. It's a 108 grade, pretty standard for young guys coming up. Zach Wheeler for the Phillies is good. I don't think I need to say much more. Number one pitcher in baseball right now, according to some of the active pitchers. And even if you throw a few, almost every other inactive. There's really not much else to say about this game. The model still thinks the Giants offense is okay, still better than the Phillies offense. That the discrepancies that are happening are kind of more park-based. But as I've mentioned a lot, right, the difference between a 104 and 97 in Major League Baseball is a very, very small talent gap that can be exploited on any single day. I wouldn't sit here and try to say I think the Giants offense is massively better. The model says it's a little bit better, but it's rounding error at that point. I mean, the big difference here, Philly's bullpen's better than the Giants bullpen, and of course, Zach Wheeler. So a little bit of an update here on this slide. The probability that the Phillies win at 65%. Model says that should be -1.3. B grade threshold. Thresholds are listed there. It's kind of Phillies are past for me on this one. You have to be kind of crazy, I think, to try to take the game. It doesn't mean they can't win. They can't be technical. That's what does happen. It's just that, you know, you have to be getting your team to win. And I don't really think that the Giants are good. And I think that's what it's model projects. Low eights for the number ones. Again, nothing out of the market right now. This information, assuming there's some different pictures. Tonight games, Tigers and the Guardians, low 60s in Cleveland. We're going in the right center field about 10 miles an hour, maybe a little bit stronger to start. This is pretty pitcher. We're already a pitcher from the bullpen. It's even more pitcher friendly here on Monday night, especially to start. It's going to help out Jack Flaherty and Tristan McKenzie. Folks, Jack Flaherty has been a guy who's been very up and down in the last couple of years. He's had some pitching where he's looked really good, and he's really looked terrible. Folks, 4 ERA on the season, but his underlying metrics are really good. So a guy that, if he continues to pitch the way he's pitched this season, he's going to have some really good outings, and that grade's going to just get better. And of course, his last start was phenomenal. That's, you know, we don't want to overreact to himself, but that was an insanely good start the last week that he went out there. Now, part of that could have been a little bit of a revenge game. Part of that could be disappointment. His offense just looks lost. You know, the goals and the ways the two teams here losing to White Sox, giving the White Sox more than half of the end of the season. You have to be concerned about those offenses. We'll talk about the Cardinals specifically later, and maybe that made Flaherty look a little bit better. And that convinced me he can keep it up. But he's on my radar. I'm saying, so far this year, the underlying metrics are like a 216 expert. If he keeps doing that, he will be just fine. And so, again, a guy with some. I think he's a guy really, liking in his past. Underline metrics not very good as well. He looked better his last start, so maybe he's kind of figuring things out. He's a guy, kind of pitching through whatever's going on specifically. And, a lot of times it doesn't work well, but when it doesn't, the guy kind of blows up again and you just put him in the AL. As good as he did the last start, maybe he is able to kind of push through it. So, the models of the Tigers have a starting pitcher edge here, and I would agree with that. Again, I'm not really loving what we've seen. No one has so far this season. But the Guardians bullpen, I kind of think offsets that. Their offensive portion is better than Tigers so far this year. I'm not convinced it's quite as good as it was. But that really helps things out. Weird bullpen is terrible by an interesting imagination. Model is not so good. It loves the Guardians bullpen and what it is projecting to do for Galaxy is allow him to not have to stress about it. And that really helps. And Flaherty, again, really well last time. So if he can go seven innings, it kind of has the same effect. But the idea is that the Tigers maybe don't have quite the top arms. And so far this year, they've been fine. But if their bullpen's a step behind, you know, you really need an extra that's kind of a little bit of an X factor that can help make up for that starting pitcher discrepancy a little bit. As you can see here, kind of throwing some information that you can look at what the model probability is and what the prices are there. You can see, for the model or the probability, they're a little bit higher than Guardians than the market is. But you can see the southern price there doesn't have the juice in it that the market does. And so that is something to keep in mind that if we are thinking it's 54% of the market is 53%, we probably wouldn't be making a good bet on them because we have no premium. So some kind of extra information there, and getting way more information about it. That's just what we're looking for, trying to boil down what's good for you here. But this is a game that would get into the B grade threshold with the current price of -116. The B grade threshold would be -125. And here it is, folks. This is your free show A grade play of the day on Monday. I'm loving the Guardians here. I think we should go ahead and lock it in. I know that Tristan McKenzie has had some concerns, but again, I love that bullpen behind him. Love this Guardians team, what they've done so far. And I think as long as they can hang around, kind of like they did on Sunday, and they were play of the day for a change. So just hang around and then they can come through late to do a lot this season. I think I had a good chance to do it. So loving the Guardians. Interesting, you know, the total though, the total is exactly what the model says to the second decimal point, which is kind of funny. So the actual total 7.5 shading a little bit down. That's exactly what the model says. So it's not on the total, but we're liking the Guardians here. That's your A grade. Even the Pirates mid 60s for this one. We're going to be blowing a little bit in, a little bit across. Not really strong enough to matter too much. Kind of off that slightly from the nature of this ballpark. Tyler Anderson and Mitch Keller. Tyler Anderson, not as good as the 23-year-old. It's kind of just a matter of time before he gives up some runs. Is it to this Pirates team? This Pirates offense can be questionable at times, to say the least. Mitch Keller, much better than this 5.8 ERA. Again, a guy who we have some concerns about, talked a lot about him this season, some velocity issues. His underlying metrics tend to be more in the fours, where I would say he's a respectable pitcher. I'm not saying that he's going to be as dominant as before, but when you look at his underlying metrics so far in the 40 innings is a decent amount, he's going to be okay. He's not going to be great, but I actually think here, agree with the model, that Mitch Keller's the better pitcher. I know the ERA isn't there. As we only talk about ERA, it's not the most predictive measure of success because it completely attributes certain things to the pitcher that are not necessarily all his fault and gives the pitcher no fault for things that are partially his fault. And so my ERA, it tells you a good job of what happened with regards to earned runs, but also you don't win games on runs, you win games on runs. And so, I don't know, it's a weird stat when you think about it, right? It's descriptive, but what is it actually describing? Something that's, again, it's a weird thing, right? Because it's kind of like in a vacuum. It's not exactly how it works. And then, again, an error for one guy is not an error for another player. So, again, it gets kind of weird when you think about it. So, again, you're not the best pitcher in the world of what we're trying to use to project going forward. And Mitch Keller is a better pitcher here. Definitely think the Pirates are going to play offensively. I have no faith in these teams. And that's what makes this total interesting. The model's projecting closer to 9, but the market's got this more in the 7.5 to 8 range. But my goodness, these offenses, you just cannot trust whatsoever right now. So it's not a total that I'm willing to play, that's for sure. Maybe if I get like over 7, I guess you have to. That would be just a really bonkers number. But the model still thinks these offenses have major league hitters, I guess. The bullpen is pretty terrible. So the model would go over, I guess. The model would go on the Pirates here and really trust that Mitch Keller is a better pitcher. And so we many games. Price on the Pirates here, as long as it's minus 150 or better, gets you to that trade price. White Sox in the Rays, the line available on this one is we have not yet confirmed either starting pitcher, which is always a fun one. Tyler Alexander is the guy that we are projecting with the bulk of the work for the Rays. I believe the last time he came in after an opener, so if it's an opener in front of him, that would really change anything. Not expecting good things from the Rays. And this one, from a pitching standpoint, Alexander, 502 here, and that actually is pretty representative in the metrics that the bullpen for the Rays has been terrible. They still got a guy or two at the back, it's not bad, but it's been bad, and there's really not a lot of hope, I think, going forward for this Rays bullpen. So whatever happens to the Rays, things won't go well pitching-wise. For the White Sox, we're projecting Mike Clevinger. The White Sox are getting a couple guys back from the IL here around this time of the year. Clevinger is one of them who's been, you know, in the minor leagues rehabbing, getting ramped up here to start off the season. Things aren't going to go well behind him as a reliever, but Clevinger, I can't believe I'm going to say this, might be the best pitcher in this game. It's not going to be good pitching all around. The Rays offense is at least okay. The White Sox offense is better with Bam now, but still not very good. We'd have the Rays as favorite in this one because they have to be. They're home against the White Sox. My goodness. What a game. Maybe the White Sox the first five makes sense. We've been doing that a little bit here lately. We probably should have done more this weekend against the Cardinals. It's been a pretty reasonable play for us. Clevinger's probably going to be better than anything the Rays throw. So if it is Clevinger and it's not some random guy from the Rays that I'm completely missing on right now that I'm not even thinking they could throw, you know, White Sox first five might make sense. It's been priced really well. And so until that comes around, that can be a good market. There might be an edge on the White Sox full game. I still wouldn't take it. I know they've won some here lately, but I just don't trust that bullpen whatsoever. For me, if I'm playing the White Sox first five or pass, until something changes, the bullpen is especially because you can either get really big plus odds in the bullpen, or you can get even still plus odds probably in grand if they tie it. So, I mean, it's kind of like a White Sox first five, and maybe if you're playing full game Rays, but it's not like I really trust the Rays bullpen even. Terrible. Model says the Rays win this 6 out of 10 times. I'll tell you who doesn't win with America. This is not going to be good. Moving on to the Padres and the Cubs. Mid-50s for this one. Slight breeze in. No total market yet. Because again, the wind at Wrigley, the weather there really matters. And so you will often see a little bit of delay in the total coming out for this one. This is going to be a pretty pitcher-friendly day, it looks like, with regards to the temperature. The slight breeze blowing in. That wind's not going to matter ton, but the one matters more there than anywhere else. It's like an amplified effect because there's no rainstorms, no big tall rainstorms like there are in every other in the country. Yu Darvish and Justin Steele for this one. Justin Steele returning with one really good start with kind of short, a guy who projected well and a guy behind he's always really out for commercial as well. So you know, this guy's going to put on Justin Steele. Don't trust either one of these bullpens. Padres' offense is better, much improved now. Otherwise, that really helps a lot of their depth. Not to say that the model looks at them struggling at DH, struggling at third base, Machado wasn't able to play third. Third base was more cold. Machado comes to play third, DH is better. Now they've got a rise there. That really helps. I mean, it's not something more than no DH to bad, but I mean, that really puts them top 10 offense for sure, maybe even top five. Some of the teams above them have struggled. Really good offense there for the Padres. And Yu Darvish, you know, solid. 3.45 ERA, fifth right there with it. XFIP's a little bit higher. Projects not quite as good. A little bit of that aging curve, you know, a little bit of the underlying metrics aren't amazing, but. You know, just kind of chugging along, you know, pretty respectable there. So this should be a good strength on strength. The best thing for the Cubs will be their offense. Cubs are at home. They're slight favorites. favorites, according to both the market and the model. I'm a little bit higher on the Cubs than the market is, but not that much. You kind of see what I said here, and that's why I wanted to educate education. That's why I became a professor in the first place. I like helping people learn. But it's interesting here. We're about 3% higher on the Cubs in the market, but that amounts to a 6 cents difference. It's not that much. And that's, again, the whole point about having, you know, the juice being in the market. And this is when you're playing at a dime market, too, at offshore. So that's why we always like to play at offshore, because so many of the domestics don't have dime lines anymore. So if you're playing at a domestic, it's even bigger. You can have a 3, 4, 5% edge and no betting edge because of the juice that you're playing. So that's something to keep in mind. I'm higher on the Cubs here in this game. The model's not really high on the Padres in general, so I'm not running to play the Cubs unless the price gets any better. That great pressure to minus one on the team is definitely going to be too there. Because I'm not really going to play this Padres. Nothing feels like a good pitcher back if you can find a good price like that. But as I mentioned, why we like playing these offshore markets, having those bottom lines, every bit you can save matters. Compare these numbers here in the line. What you're looking at from your domestics, these numbers are going to be a whole lot better across the board. So again, I'm not going to yet. That US is a shot you have as an option. You don't even have to make every single bet there, but they're going to have some good prices. You always want to bet good prices. Check them out if you haven't yet. They're still in the same promo. You don't know how long they're going to run it. But so far, they're still offering a 125% bonus. First ever $3,000. Sign up today with
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
Moving along here to Mariners and Twins. Luis Castillo and Simeon Woods Richardson squaring off in a battle of two pitchers that look really good. Obviously, Castillo's been good for quite some time now, but Simeon Woods Richardson's the guy I've been talking about here lately. You really like what you've seen from him. His rating continues to come down. His xFIP's a little bit high, but a 220 FIP so far in his 15 innings is pretty impressive. He's not the better pitcher in this matchup at all, but I do think it's worth noting the pitcher discrepancy might not be quite as big as the name recognition discrepancy is. The model still loves the Mariners' offense. It doesn't love their bullpen quite as much. I still think the Twins' offense is competent, which I don't know. I guess that's true. They continue to win some games, so they're doing something right for the most part here with a nice little winning streak that they've had recently. And part of that's their bullpen. The model loves their bullpen and is now vaulted their bullpen up to the number one rated bullpen in baseball. Otherwise, it'll be a little bit on the chilly side, mid to low 60s. We're going to be blowing in, so it's going to be playing pitcher-friendly. I like these two pitchers. I like the Twins bullpen for sure. Unfortunately, that doesn't really create an edge for us with regard to total market, as the discrepancy between the market and the model is only about a tenth of a run there on the total. Maybe the first five market offers us something there. But if anything else, it does seem that we're a little bit higher on the Twins than the market is. And again, I think that's largely due to the fact that the starting pitcher discrepancy is there. Luis Castillo is a better pitcher for sure. And he's the better pitcher by a decent bit. I'm not saying he's not. But it might be like he's the better pitcher by a decent bit and not by, you know, this big, huge, massive divide that the market is treating it as. And so I think that kind of accounts for the likely difference here. And again, as I mentioned before, the fact that the Twins bullpen is doing so well, the model likes them so much, that makes life easier on Galaxy. It allows them to only have to go 4 innings or something like that, and then you go over the bullpen and things will be just fine for them. Not to say that Luis Castillo can't go 7 innings, because he absolutely can, but the Mariners bullpen being not the strength that it's been in years past, they really need him to do that. And again, so far, he's been great, and he's been a good pitcher his whole career. It's just they need him to do that in order to hang in this game. The Twins don't need that from Simeon Woods Richardson. And that helps. Right? They don't need him to be in it, because he's not. He's just kind of an average pitcher at this point. But again, much closer than probably anticipating. It's that great version of plus 112, the current price. Falls into that, and so it's looking like the Twins are past night Northern Oil, 740 p.m. Eastern first pitch, mid to upper 60s, slight breeze blowing out, about, I don't know why I said it's slight, strong breeze blowing out, about 15 miles an hour for this one. Now it's out slash across, and so right now I'm projecting it to have very little effect, the weather on this game, that it's going to be hitter friendly ballpark like normal and no extra boost or no decrease from that. But if that wind shifts to being out at this temperature, at this speed or across, that's going to change. If it's across, it's going to be maybe a little bit on the chillier than average side. And Kaufman will still play hitter friendly, but maybe scale it back just a scope. We're talking more like maybe 8 runs is what we'd be expecting. But if that wind is shifted out, straight out on that field, that's going to give the hitter from the ballpark an even bigger bump to the bats, and the projected number of runs might be closer to 9. So I think the difference here is going to be more in the 8.5 to 9 range based off what the wind does in this one. But it's a hitter-friendly ballpark, and it could be a hitter-friendly night. Both of these teams need that. The Royals is not in love with this Royals offense, and you've seen it this week. I've been saying it really all season that this Royals start was cute and all, but they aren't that good. The thing that is good about them is their relievers, although, of course, they didn't do as well here on Sunday against the Rangers, thankfully for us, as we loved backing the Rangers on Sunday. But the offense for the Royals, you know, not getting it done. The offense of the Brewers not really getting it done in general in the last few weeks. So, two offenses that are going to need that help. The Royals are favored here, and of course they should be favored because they have a big edge. Patrick Corbin is really good. 3.44 ERA. The FIP is much better than the next one. So, I mean, you're talking about a pitcher who, if he continues to look like these underlying metrics, he might end up in that Cy Young category. And I said from day one, I was a little bit leery to put him in there without having seen what he had done this year, that it just wasn't a big enough sample for him to see more. I mean, the worst thing, and he's doing exactly that. The number of pitchers that come up with the type of start, you know, that he had last year or last year after injuries. And it's just a flash in the pan, right? And I just, hey, I'm not saying you can't do it. I just want to be a little bit, let's kind of hedge our bets a little bit. So far, McGregor has been really, really good. He's been every bit as good as last year. And if he continues to pitch this way, that 3.44 ERA, it's actually going to get better than it is. Nothing but good things to say about his performance so far this year. That's why the Royals are favored, because he is really, really good. On the other side of the field, Bryce Wilson has gotten results with 3 ERA, but his FIP is in the mid-4s, ex-FIP in the low-4s. He projects in the mid to low-4s. The underlying metrics tell us, as you would imagine, that there's a pretty big starting pitcher discrepancy here, and that's why the Royals are favored. Here's the thing, though. Are they favored by too much? You know, the model has been a little bit hesitant on Reagan so far. And it would say the same thing here. Not to say that there's really, you know, a ton of value in Brewers. It would say Brewers are past, but of course the price right now plus 1.1 has not gotten to be deep regression plus 1.41. We're still a dime away from that. But the model would look at this and say, you know, the Brewers offense is still better than the Royals offense. And that gives them enough of a fighting chance to win this game. I'm not running the back. I'm not saying they can't win this game. And I do agree that their offense is better than the Royals, and so that helps them. But I'm just not sold on the offense being able to score up the Royals. But again, this is a lot for the play, and this is a thing that, again, I want to really iterate. And I say these type of things, but I think, unfortunately, for me, the viewer who doesn't like to hear what I'm about to say, which is true, just stop watching. And the peers, thankfully, if you're still around, you know, I'm preaching to the choir probably, but again, the books view the world here in probability, so we should probably do the same thing too. Right? The books are looking at this saying, you know, Reagan's will dominate them, right? And that's sure as heck, right? But that's not the way they look at it. They look at it as what's the probability that the Royals win? And they've set the probability that the Royals win at about 58%, and every time they take a bet or a wager from someone that they respect or someone that they trust, or so many questions coming in, so I'm really just talking about places, right? You know, then they shape it. They say, oh, well, we put it at 15%. Someone else bet into it. Maybe we missed it. We got to up it a percent or drop it a percent. That creates an inflation. That's how this stuff actually works, right? Underneath the hood. And so they've got it at 15%. I've got it at 15%. Well, we agree the Royals should win. I think they might be overselling them a little bit. They might be overselling them a little bit because they have another added extra thing to worry about, right? Which is trying to make sure that they don't go over exposed inside of the universe. They've got a slight extra caveat. They might say, hey, if we put it at 55%, we're going to take so much oil. We don't really want to do that because we don't want to be gambling on this and have all our money on one side. You know, we're trying to balance out a little bit, you know, as much as they can with a reason. And so, you know, all that to say, I agree with the market. The Royals are favored. I think the price is a little steep. I wouldn't be playing the Royals. It doesn't mean I'm really dying to play the Royals. I will note the market says not a lot of runs. These offenses are good. And whole way with the bullpens are good. And I would agree with all of that. But I would say, the offenses are decent. The weather could be really friendly here to give me a similar. It's a very hitter-friendly ballpark. And the last thing I will note, this is another reason why I'm a little bit leery on this oil price. The Brewers are a very right-handed heavy offensive team, and that sets them up a little bit more successful. And so we are looking at this over as looking at it as kind of a Brewers over or pass with regards to this one. Again, first time market may look totally different. We'll see about that morning. Let's see if there's any great first five picks available. And so, that's the Cardinals 7:45 p.m. Eastern first pitch. You're about 70 degrees, a little higher, and it's certainly lower to finish. We're going slightly in, slightly across, not overly strong. But it's going to play a little bit pitcher for me here. Sean Manoa and Kyle Gibson. Manoa is great. He's 4.78. It's a little bit higher. X is a lot higher. And that's kind of the concern. I made the comment that I was high on Manoa here. Last year at the end of the year, he was like, I'll be back a lot, made us a lot of money. The guy was high on this year. It's all relative to the market. The fact that I'm really concerned about the market is really different. Where we agree, we just say, cool. Where we agree, we move on. And where do we disagree? And for so long, the market didn't have as if he was like Patrick Corbin without the good support, which I still can't quite understand. But, you know, the last almost year now, he's been pretty respectable. And so we liked him not because we thought he would be an ace, but because he'd be respectable and the market thought he'd be terrible. At this point, I'm wondering if that's kind of starting to go away a little bit, where the people are kind of realizing like he's decent enough that maybe he's not as good as he was kind of in his heyday, but he's not a bad pitcher either. And of course, he pitches a lot of his games in one of the most pitcher-friendly ballparks in the league at Citi Field. That helps him out too. All that to say, I do think he's a solid pitcher, but the XFIP being a little bit high does have me slightly concerned. And I would kind of say the same thing about Kyle Gibson. It's been a solid start to the season for him too, and he's getting deep in the games, which is really helping the Cardinals out. Keeping that bullpen fresh, except for what they need to do with a bullpen game on Sunday. But while his ERA still is in the 30s, the FIP and XFIP for him are both in the 4s. FIP's almost a five. So some reasons to look at both of these pitchers and say there might be some runs being given up at some point in their future. Now, are these the offenses to do it? Who really knows? This Cardinals offense just looks completely lost at this point. What we saw against the White Sox and some of those terrible pitchers. The Mets offense, it's kind of got the same thing going for them. They look great at times and terrible at times. At this point, I trust the Mets offense a little bit more than the Cardinals offense just because the Mets just didn't get embarrassed by the White Sox, I guess. And I think they've been a little bit more consistent as of late than the Cardinals. But the Cardinals shouldn't be as bad as they are. I don't quite know what's going on with them. I trust Manoa a little bit more. I trust the Mets offense a little more. When I'm just looking at this game myself, I'm thinking it's really hard to back the Cardinals. I don't think they really have an edge. I don't really think they have an edge on offense. There's no lefty-righty splits in the lineup that matter at all. They're all pretty balanced teams. I like the Cardinals bullpen better, but not by enough, especially coming off of the bullpen game. And after a game the day before, they had the Euler Chop guy. So it's not like it sets up really well for them. It's kind of Mets or pass. The issue, of course, is the Mets value. might not really be there. The market has them at a 47% win percentage. We have them at 48. It's not quite, you know, to that wrong team favor type thing. You know, if we had the Mets more at 50%, it'd be a little bit of a different story. If Mets are passed, I'm not really excited enough about this price. And kind of the same thing goes with the total. It's really got to be over a pass. These pitchers aren't that good. These offenses should have an advantage for most things at the very end. And a part that can play kind of pitcher for me, it's not really a total. I mean, Rangers and the A's, you know, I swear, like, one good week away from being in first place. It's been a heck of a run for the A's here. The downside for the A's is Alex Wood is terrible. 6.32 ERA. And the fifth and the X were better than that, but they're both in the fives. Those are metrics that tend to come down a little bit quicker and be a little bit less bouncy. Like, here, I probably like them. That's one of the reasons we like them. But I mean, a fifth and the mid-five is pretty rough. 31 teams. It's just not a very good pitcher. So the good one, the A's have had, not really at all because of, you know, Alex Wood. There's one of the worst of pitchers in baseball. Thankfully for the A's, Andrew Heaney's not really much better. 5.10 ERA, fifth and next fit both in the upper four. He's better, but, like, he's not great either. The Rangers will have an edge in this game. Make no bones about it. Their offense is better. And they're facing a terrible. Well, favorite in this game, they should be favorite in this game. But again, I continue to mention this game open gets rated better and better by the day, continues to look good. The offense, I think, at least gets helped out by the fact that they put up 20 runs in one game. They come up maybe not quite as bad, but as you can see, rank number 25, it's not a very good offense. But the bullpen continues to come around. The issue with this game is they're earning so much of the bullpen because they have so little faith in the cards. Right now, the market says the Rangers win this game 55%. I bet it's 60% of the time. And that the B-grade threshold is -135. Right now, you can get -130. I'm never willing to back injury. At this point, with what we've seen from the A's, I'm not dying, you know, to fade the A's. At this point, being, you know, around 500, at 500 here, you know, in May is incredible. And the Rangers haven't looked good to start. Their offense hasn't been quite as strong as we thought it would be. Of course, all their starting pitchers can be hurt. But I still can't get over the fact that as good as the A's have been, they're still running out one of the worst starting pitchers in baseball in Alex Wood. So for me, it's Rangers or pass. -135, which that'd be a great threshold. You're not seeing -130. So anything -135 or better seems like a pretty strong fire load play. The market is a little bit lower on the total than we are. We're a little bit higher, but that's kind of our rounding error type discrepancy. I know we had a game earlier where we were to the second decimal place exactly, but that's not very common that that happens. This sort of discrepancy here is something I would just say is not really big enough to think that we say it should be a little bit overweight, but it's maybe in the other side of it. At this point, I think the main way to think this game is. The Marlins Dodgers will wrap us up here. Upper 50s for this game, and kind of like in Oakland, a pretty standard night for this time of year. Nothing really to write home about either one of the games. Late games in California, everything should play pretty normal. Rodery Muniz for the Marlins is a listed pitcher. So far, so good for him. 2.45 ERA in his two starts. FIP in the upper threes. XFIP in the mid twos. Gets a 93 grade, a guy who's looked good so far. The model really likes what it's seen from him. The Marlins, you know, they do have some prospects pitching-wise. They're having to use all of them, it seems like, at this point. But they've got a lot of good young arms. They just got to keep finding healthy ones at this point because they keep having guys injured. But so far, so good for Rodery Muniz. Can't say the same thing about the Marlins bullpen. Can't say the same thing about the Dodgers bullpen now with Evan Phillips going down. Really weakens their pen a lot. Not to say that he was you know, the closer version of Cy Young or anything, but he was a very solid back end of the pen pitcher for them. And him being on the IL really trickles down and affects their bullpen. The model does not like what it does to them. Of course, the big story in this game is Walker Buehler making his return from surgery. Gets a 93 grade, projects very well. He was one of the better pitchers in baseball. Here's the caveat with him, and the reason why his grade's only a 93, when he finished pitching right when he was getting, you know, hurt, his grade was probably in the 70s. I mean, one of the better pitchers in baseball. But when you're coming off of an injury like this, you know, I'm not saying they rushed him back because they could have rushed him back last year and they didn't. But they're treating him with kid's gloves and how they're stretching him out, how the injury affects things. There's just an extra bit of question mark. And we see some minor league data, but we don't even know with that minor league data exactly what he's doing there, how much he's working on what. And so there are some things we can read through the tea leaves on. But the bottom line is there's a little bit of a pause and a hesitation with a guy like this coming back and exactly how dominant he will be. The market seems to think this discrepancy between these two starting pitchers is really large. The model says there isn't one. And I think there isn't one simply because of the injury situation for Buehler. Again, if we're getting in his prime like nothing happened, Walker Buehler is the better pitcher here, and it's no contest. As much as Muniz has looked really good so far, and we think highly of him, again, it's no contest with Buehler. It's just, are we getting that right now? I don't think we know that. I don't think we have that answer right now. So the model's kind of hedging its bets there and saying the starting pitching discrepancy might not really exist. Again, we don't want to overreact to what Muniz has done, but we have enough information on him and projections on him to kind of be pretty high on him if you're a Marlins fan. Of course, the offenses are no contest. The Dodgers offense is really, really good, and the Marlins offense isn't. The Dodgers are big favorites. They should be big favorites. I think they're favored by way too much. Now, does that mean you play the Marlins? You know, to me, I think it is a word of caution to not play the Dodgers at minus 250 with a guy in Walker Buehler who we don't really know what we're going to get here at this first start. And then you lose Evan Phillips and you go, what's going to happen? I mean, is this going to turn into a bullpen game? At least for the Dodgers, at least they've been doing that lately. So they've got a couple guys they can go to if that happens, but some of those bullpen guys aren't great. And so not that the Marlins' offense is good. I'm not trying to say they are. We saw the Marlins, you know, put up some runs here on Sunday. If Buehler struggles, which he would struggle because of him, not because of the Marlins' offense, right? If he struggles, you get to the bullpen. Some of those guys aren't great. You know, the Dodgers should still win. But laying minus 250 is very, very little reward for a lot of risk. And that's the idea, is that there is risk. There is no locks in gambling. There's no locks in sports, no locks in life other than death and taxes, right? That sort of thing. The idea is that the implication is the Dodgers win the 70% of the time. And I can get to 70% if I know I've got old school Walker Buehler. I just don't know if I've got that. And so that's where the model is like, yo, like, let's not go crazy here. It's Marlins or pass. You can take a huge shot. You can play the run line. You can play the first five. Honestly, the model thinks the Marlins bullpen's still okay, thinks the underlying metrics are still okay. I don't know. They've looked so bad. Like, it's the same thing I said about the Astros. And sure enough, the Astros, what happens on Sunday, Hader blows it again for them, right? I think the Astros and the Marlins bullpens are kind of in the similar boat of when you look under the hood, things should be okay, but they aren't right now. And when is that going to get fixed? And do we want to back those units until they get fixed? I don't think it's crazy to say I don't want to, right? And so, you know, maybe you're looking at the Marlins and you're saying the first five makes sense. Maybe it just means pass, right? Because the Dodgers offense is so dang good. You know, anytime they're playing a bad team, they could be up 4-0 before you blink, right? And so knowing that, you just say, look, the Dodgers are the better team here, but they're being priced such that I can't play them, but I don't have to play this show. So there's a couple different ways you can handle this, right? So when I say something like Marlins or pass, I mean, pass is a really reasonable option for us. Maybe there's your first five. We try to just hang on and get a Dodge. Maybe play like a first three. You try to do something, get out of Dodge. The top of the Dodgers offense is really good. But again, the message the model is sending us is, Munoz isn't bad. He might hang in there. He might get shelled, but he reminds me of a guy kind of like Mitchell Parker for the Nats who went out there and shut down the Dodgers, right? Could happen. And Bueller, again, we just don't know what we're getting from him. So one or two good starts from Bueller, and all of a sudden his grade starts to get back to where it was a couple years ago, and all of a sudden he'll be treated like an ace, and then it'll be, yeah, we're never fading the Dodgers when he's pitching, because it ain't going to be worth it, right? But I'm just not sure we're there yet. So a couple thoughts on that one, hopefully help you either find some profitability or just stay away. And if the Dodgers win, just say, who cares? The price wasn't worth it, because there still was risk. Even though something will happen, that doesn't mean that there wasn't risk, and we have to be thinking and careful about our risk. So that's our show today. Again, join us on Dub Club. More picks. We got that 1A grade pick that I gave you already today. We'll have more over on Dub Club. Updates, summaries, all sorts of goodies. Going to try to start you out along with our Discord chat, which is a lot of fun. A lot of people helping each other. A lot of people giving suggestions. A lot of people asking questions. A lot of good things happen over there on Discord. A lot of fun being had as well. So sign up today if you haven't. Otherwise, as always, best of luck. And remember, you can eat your betting money, but please don't bet your eating money.